Good morning, everybody, and welcome. We give you a warm welcome to this online service from Olney Baptist Church. My name is Sid Bond, and I am one of the elders at the church. We are continuing our reading and learning from the book of Acts today. And this morning we are reading from Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 34. And the verse for this week is Acts chapter 16, verse 24, and reads like this. The God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. Let us pray. Lord of all, we come to you to sing your praises, to listen to your word, and to learn from you. Father, you are the true and living God, and we ask for your help that our faith and love for you would grow. We pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us and that we would have a greater confidence in your word. We ask that you would bless us as we come to you this morning. And as we, although we are separate, we meet together in your presence. So we do thank you, Father, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We now come to the reading, and Lynn is going to read to us this morning, And just a reminder, it's Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 34.
The reading is from Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others.
Thank you, Lynn, for reading for us today. We're going to pray again, so let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to your throne and praise you, for you are Lord of all. We praise you for sending Jesus and making yourself known to us. You have forgiven us and made us your own people. You have set our feet on a solid foundation, and you are our rock and strong tower. You are righteous in all of your ways, and we praise you for your mercy and grace. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we do ask for your help. We pray concerning the spread of this COVID-19. And Father, you know that it has accelerated over these last weeks. And so we do ask that you would aid us, Father, that you would stop the spread of this disease. And Father, for those who are suffering at the moment, that you would come and that you would make them well and strong again. Father, we know that COVID-19 has caused all kinds of problems. And we think about those who live on their own, those who are lonely. And now in this second lockdown, are not able to see their families. Father, we pray for those in that situation today, for those who are lonely, for those who are elderly, for those, Father, who are feeling afraid. We pray for them that you would comfort them and that you would meet their needs, please. We pray for single parent families where children are not able to get out and play the same. And for mothers and fathers who are concerned about the lack of cash, the lack of food. Father, we bring all of these things to you. And we pray that all of their needs will be met. We pray that you would keep them strong mentally and physically. We pray for families, Father, and we pray for those who are lonely. We pray for the NHS, Father. We thank you for all of the great work they do, for doctors, nurses, for consultants, for cleaners, for those who work in admin, for those who are responsible for running hospitals. We do ask, Father, that you would help them and sustain them, that they would be able to continue the work that they do, and also, Father, that you would keep them free from COVID, that they will be able to care for others. Father, we do ask that you would not allow the hospitals to be overrun, and that there would be all the facilities there that is required. Father, that also this second lockdown will prove beneficial and will halt the progress of this disease. We pray also, Father, for a vaccine. We know that there are many being developed at the moment. And we do pray for those who are working on these vaccines, that you would give them success and that you would give them guidance, that we would have one very soon. Also, Father, we pray for the government who have to make difficult decisions. And we do ask that you would make the government strong and that you would make them wise, that they would make the right decisions. And Father, that they would continue to work for the good of the nation. We do ask that the government would be guided by you and that they would indeed make the right decisions. Father, that this COVID-19 and all of the other things which are associated with it, Father, that they would be handled in the best possible way. So, Father, we pray for those with the responsibilities for chief medical officers, for chief scientists, for those who provide data and other information. We bring them all to you and pray that you would guide them. And lastly, Father, we do pray for the election of a new president in the United States. You know all what is going on there at the moment, Father, and we do pray that it will be a just and fair election. And Father, that your will be done in this, that the right man will become, the man of your choosing, will become president in that country. Father, that you would not allow any social unrest and things that really should not be. Father, we do pray for this US election and do ask that there will be calm and that there will be peace. And Father, that those who live in the United States will remember, although they're choosing a president, that they will not forget that you are the final authority in all of these things. So, Father, we do bring these things to you, and we pray in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that we can bring these things to you. Amen. I'd just like to say that there may be those of you who are listening to this online service, and you feel though you need God's help and support, and maybe you don't ask God to help you. Well, you can, of course. The Bible encourages us in many places to pray to God and to ask for his help. So let me encourage you to pray to God. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, just pray simply to him, and pray to him as though you were praying to your, speaking to your mother or your father, and trust God that he will answer your prayers and that he will meet your needs. So you can ask God for anything, whatever is going on in your life at the moment. Ask him to make things better for you and to improve your situation, whether it be health or whether it be family problems. And may the Lord bless you. We come to a song now. It's song number 302, and it is Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honor. like to take this opportunity to thank the musicians and singers. That's Jonathan and Catherine. We do thank you for your contribution this morning and for all that you do. And now we come to the message this morning. Just a reminder, it's if you've got your Bibles open, it's Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 34. I want you to come with me in your imagination to ancient Greece. It is a warm and a sunny day, and we are in the city of Athens, an impressive place. It has a reputation as the intellectual capital of the known world. It has great architecture. It is a city of learning and wisdom and progressive thinking. And as you look around, you will see many temples and idols and images of pagan gods. The Apostle Paul is also in Athens. And he's there waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. And as he looks around the city with all its idols, he is greatly distressed. For what Paul sees is not the grandeur of Athens, but its idolatry. This motivates him to reason with those attending the synagogue on the Sabbath. And also, he reasons with those who frequent the marketplace. Now, in Athens, there are two leading groups of philosophers. One was the Epicureans, whose pursuit was happiness and pleasure. The other were Stoics, who pursued self-sufficiency. They didn't regard Paul as important because they thought he was referring to a foreign god. Actually, Paul was talking of the resurrection and of Jesus. But what these men did do was invite Paul to speak at the meeting of the Areopagus. The Areopagus was a council of men who were regarded as the guardians of the city's religion and morality and education. They were keen to hear what new teaching Paul was advocating. And in verse 22 of this chapter, it tells us that Paul stood up and spoke to the council. And he teaches them five things about God. One, that he is creator of the world, that's verse 24. Two, that God sustains all human life, that's verse 25. Three, that God rules the nations, verse 26. And four, that God is the father of all human beings, verse 29. And five, that God will judge the world, that is verse 31. As we read in verse 24, God created the world. This city of Athens, although it has a great reputation, there was nothing of God there. It was all men's intellect. It was all men's wisdom. It was all men's philosophy. The Athenians did not acknowledge the great architect and creator. That's God himself. The temples and the idols around the city, they're lifeless. They can't provide salvation and peace as God can. The world belongs to God. He made it and watches over it. The Bible records there will be a new heaven and earth one day. But that will be in God's time, not ours. We, of course, have to be responsible in how we live on the earth, but we can trust God to sustain the world he has made. He does not want us to be anxious about its future. And in verse 29, Paul says we are God's offspring. Although this is a quote from a non-Christian poet, Paul restates that we are God's offspring. I'm sure what Paul has in mind, that in regards to creation, God is Father of all humans, giving life to all. All believers, of course, in regard to salvation, have been adopted into God's family as sons and daughters. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5, it says this, "In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." I'll read that again. In love God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. What a privilege that is for those who belong to God. I can remember in our last church when I was a teenager, people asking me, did I have a second birthday? It's another way of asking, are you a Christian? Because if your answer is yes, your second birthday is, of course, your spiritual birthday when you became a believer. In verse 31, we are reminded that God will judge the world. He has already set the date, which nobody knows. We know three things. It is sometime in the future, Jesus will be the judge, and it will be a just judgment. Many people fear the judgment of God, and that's quite understandable. But all is not lost, because God, in his love and grace, has provided a rescue plan in Jesus. That's why the gospel is called good news, because it is good news for sinners. Because you can be rescued from judgment and hell. If you turn to God and ask for forgiveness and salvation, at the end of time, when you stand before God, you will stand before God not as a sinner, but as a child of God. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that people from every land, by putting their trust in Jesus, could go to heaven. Some Christians, I believe, are fearful of God's judgment. But if your trust is in Jesus, therefore, God is your loving Heavenly Father, and you belong to him. Ask God to help you to be less fearful and to strengthen your faith. Verse 32 informs us that when Paul spoke of the resurrection, there were some who were scornful. Other translations say that they burst out laughing. There is one thing we can be sure about as disciples of Jesus in this world. People will disagree with God's truth. We may be mocked or dismissed or even ostracized for our beliefs, as many of you, I am sure, have experienced over the years. But then we have a different reaction in verse 34. A number of the listeners to Paul became believers. Two are named. I have difficulty with this. Dionysus and a lady named Damaris. We don't know anything about them. But those writers who are critical of Paul's time in Athens say it was unsuccessful, as only a few people believed. But we don't know what influence that these two believers had on others. Think of your own conversion. Somebody told you about Jesus. It may have been at home. It may have been in church. It may have been in the office. Or it may have been when you were at college. And since then, you have told others about Jesus. And so it continues right across the world. Christians telling others about Jesus. And this will only stop when Jesus returns. And now we come to our final hymn, which is 1346, and it is "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." hope that you've been encouraged by God's word this morning, and we're going to close in prayer now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love, and we thank you for your great salvation. We pray for all who are listening to this online service, and we do ask that you would meet all of their needs. Father, that you would answer their prayers, and Father, that the Holy Spirit would encourage us to trust you more and more. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.